truer with preachers than anyone else. It's a very lonely life, and you have to please as many people as you possibly can. Very difficult. And usually a church congregation never actually realizes how much a pastor has to do in order to try to be accepted by as many people as possible. Quite frankly, I always enjoyed being a technician. I was a man who had a job to do, and for a large part of my life, it was totally dependent on me being proficient in that job. And I was accepted if I did the job right and rewarded by the military and by the National Security Agency. My life was a very simple, uncomplicated thing. But I'd have to say, with all honesty, the most difficult task I have ever faced in my life is pastoring a church. It's just almost impossible, because everybody is different. Everybody has different viewpoints on different things. And the criticisms that you receive by your mannerisms, by your actions, by you're too frivolous, you're not frivolous enough, you're too serious, you're not serious enough, the temperature is not quite right, it's too high, it's too low. And I just want you all to know something at this Christmas season. You gave me a $3,000 bonus, and don't think that I didn't appreciate it. But I want to tell you, I'm the lowest paid pastor in the Mount Hope Association. And I want to tell you why. It's by my own choice, because I won't accept any more money. I don't need it. But I can't be bought. But the one thing that has bothered me more than anything else is acceptance. And I finally came to realize, after I'd pastored here about 20 years, Jesus accepts me. He accepted me a long time ago. And he's the only one I have to please. So I want every one of you to know, individually and personally, that whenever you have criticisms of me, or you don't particularly like the way I do things or the way I say things, why don't you go home and tell God to kill me? Just go home and tell him, kill him! Did you ever stop to think that maybe you're the problem? Did you ever stop to think that your criticisms and the behind the scenes and behind the back little funnies are things that you ought to let God take care of that? Just tell God about it and see what God says and see how he makes you feel. You say, well, Brother Malcolm, who stepped on your toes? Nobody. Absolutely nobody. And everything's just fine. But I want you to realize something. Yeah, I love pastoring you. Yeah, I love every one of you. But I enjoy being a technician a whole lot more. And the only thing that keeps me doing what I do and staying here is God. So when you've got your criticisms of me and you've got your little complaints and gripes and grumbles, why don't you take them to God and tell God you don't like this and you don't like that, and this should be done this way and this should be done that way and this should be done over here this way. And right now, if what I'm saying is making you mad, let me tell you why it's making you mad. It's because you may be the very one that's guilty of that. So I wish you'd think about what I've just said, because I've been here 30 years, and I don't have to stay another day. God's got a place for me anywhere he wants me. But I just want you to know that the most important thing in a person's life is acceptance. You want to be accepted. You don't want to be criticized. You don't want to be made fun of. You don't want people to take slaps at you behind your back. So why should I? So think about that this year. Because there are lots of things in life that involve acceptance. And the purpose for all that I just put out was not rambling. It's the secret of pastoring. You think you're wonderful, and you think you're easy to pastor. No, you're not wonderful, and you're not easy to pastor. And I'm not wonderful. And I'm not a good pastor. And once we get all that out of the way, we come down to what this is all about and what I've tried for 30 years to direct this church to. You've got to learn that your satisfaction, your complaints, your grumbling, your gripes, all the little things that irritate you and make you mad, you've got a God to take them to. And you've got a God that dearly loves you. And sometimes I wonder just how much you think that God does love you. So I'm talking to you point blank tonight. Just eyeball to eyeball. Because quite frankly, it's something you need to think about. Now, the Lord, a long time ago, told you how much he loved you. And he's pretty well proven that. I sometimes wonder how much you really believe all that. Because you can't seem to find any satisfaction or happiness down here except on short-lived terminology. And the fact that he has made you accepted in the beloved ought to make your life a whole lot easier to live. It can if you're satisfied with his acceptance. That's why I'm the lowest paid pastor in this association. Because I'm happy with his acceptance. I get my joy in pastoring this church from Jesus. I get it totally from Jesus. And the only way that I can please Jesus is to preach the word and preach the truth as straightforward as the Bible itself directs it. And quite frankly, if I haven't done you anything else, I've done you this favor. Everything I've ever preached for 30 years has been straight from the Bible. Because the better your relationship becomes with Jesus Christ, the better off you're going to be, and the better off you're going to be able to face life. Isaiah 49, 15, 16. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of the womb? Men don't have to have children. They've never felt a baby kick inside them. And some men, when the woman says, you want to feel him kick? And they just can't seem to bring themselves to do it. Well, that's all right. Don't mind that. But there's a special relationship that a woman has with a child that she's carried for 9 months. That child is looked upon quite different by her. And particularly back in the time when they used to suckle on the breast and partake of the fluids of her body, and she could feel her body fluids and life coming out and feeding that child after she had carried him in her womb for 9 months. There's a very special love that a mother has. God has that kind of compassion and love for me. And he has that kind of compassion and love for you. I've tried to teach you that for 30 years while I was learning it for myself. It's made me happy with what I have. It's made me satisfied with what I have. I don't want a lot of money. I don't want a lot of fame. I don't want attention. I'd like to have your acceptance, but I can jolly well live without it because I've got his acceptance. That's what you need to learn to do. You need to understand that you are accepted by God, that you're loved by God, that you're kept by God, and that your future is in God's hands. And any complaints you have, you need to take to him. And just be direct. Tell him what you don't like. And tell him what you think he ought to do. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. He said, even a mother, as much as she loves a child, he says, I won't ever forget you. He's speaking to Israel here, when they were the apple of his eye. Now the local New Testament church is the apple of his eye. You ought to be satisfied with what God's given you. You ought to be thankful to God that you have a place to come together and assemble and worship him in spirit and in truth. You ought to be thankful to God that you have all these brothers and sisters who aren't quite as perfect as you are that come down here and worship. You ought to be thankful for that. And you ought to realize we're an imperfect bunch that God's son died for and loves us so much that it's even more than a woman who gave birth to a child who's the apple of her eye. yet he will not forget thee. It's the only way I've been able to stay at this church for 30 years. It's the only way. You wonder why pastors run from other churches. You say, well, they get treated bad, they get this, they have that, and you can come up with a million and one reasons. Now, of course, they are contributing factors, but the primary reason is you've got to learn to find satisfaction in life, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a deacon, whether you're a church member. You've got to learn to find satisfaction in life with the acceptance you have in Christ. And be satisfied with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't care about money. I don't care about fame. I don't care about wealth. I don't care about riches. I don't care about reputation. I care only about one thing. Does God accept me? Has Jesus accepted me? And the answer from his word is a resounding yes. I only have one person to please. That's the head of this church and the foundation of this church. You only have one person to please. The head of this church and the foundation of this church. In all the faults and flaws you find in other people that are members of this church, or the way this isn't done or that isn't done, you ought to just thank God you're down here and the Lord has put you in this church where you can hear the word of God, where you can fellowship where the truth is preached, and where Christ dwells in the midst of it. And then he goes on to say something to make sure that he gets the point across. Behold, I have craven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. He's talking about Jerusalem here. He's talking about the city that his people, the nation of Israel, had as their capital and has his dwelling place in the temple. Isn't the local church a dwelling place? Isn't it a local temple? He says, their walls are continually before me. He said, I look upon your walls, Jerusalem, the place of my house. And he said, it's like you took a stone chisel and chisel them in my hands. They're ever before me. You think we're just a small gathering here tonight? We are. But we are his local church, and we are his people. And this is a local temple. And we are gathered together, and in our midst is Jesus Christ. He accepts you. He loves you. He cares for you. You ever figure that out for yourself and ever come to believe it? You come to this church and you come when it assembles and you worship him because you actually believe that the Bible is true when it says, in whom ye also are built together for habitation of God through the Spirit. And you'll be satisfied with the fact that you're accepted. Sure, it's wonderful to be accepted by your wife, by your husband, by your fellow associates. It's wonderful to be accepted by the community and by everybody else. But there's only one way that you can ever find joy and happiness in this life. You have to learn how much God loves you. And you have to learn that he accepted you in Christ. And you learn that your life is future. And that no matter what happens down here, whether you lose your life, whether you lose all your friends, whether all men turn against you, God won't turn against you. Christ won't turn against you. And in the end, I care for you all. I love you very much. But you're not going to be sitting up on that judgment seat. You need to realize you're not going to be sitting up on that judgment seat. None of you. You need to realize there's going to be one man up there. And he's the one that's going to be judging you. Who art thou to judge another man's servant? If we'd spend less time judging one another, we'd find a whole lot more happiness in life if we'd just be satisfied with the fact that Jesus accepts us, that God accepts us in Christ, and he loves us. And he always will love us. And he will never, never turn away from us. This is a very interesting scripture. Job said, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were penned in a book. Then he talks about this engraving. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. That's what this book is. This book is where I found acceptance. This book is where I found Jesus. It's where I found the things of God. It's where I found the promises of God. It's where I discovered I'm accepted by Jesus Christ. It's where I found I have a friend. And even though I don't treat my friend right, and even though I sin against my friend, and even though I'm not a good friend to him, he'll always be a good friend to me. Have you ever heard me criticize Jesus? Have you ever heard me criticize Jesus? How can I? He has never done anything to hurt me in any way, except when I dearly needed it. And everything he's ever done has been in love. And I thank his name for it. You ought to learn to be satisfied with what you have. You ought to stop expecting everything in this life to go your way. And for everybody to be like you. We're all different. God accepts us the way we are and forgives us the way we are. We need to learn to be forgiving toward one another and understanding that we are all different and to accept ourselves as being different and to not look upon someone as not measuring up to our thoughts and our standards and our way of thinking, and therefore something must be wrong with them. Yes, there's a lot wrong with everyone. There's something wrong with all of us. But there's nothing wrong with Jesus. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Well, I know that too, Job. It took me a lot longer to learn it than you, Job. But I know that my Redeemer's alive. I know he's here tonight. I know he's in the midst of every local New Testament church that preaches and teaches the truth. I know he's going to stand at the latter day upon the earth, and I know he's going to judge me. He's going to judge me for every judgment I passed on everybody else on a personal basis. Not on the Word of God, but on a personal basis. We have a right to tell people what's right and wrong from the Word of God. We should. But we don't have a right to pass personal judgment on one another. But right now, I don't have anything to be judged about. Because I asked him just a few minutes ago to forgive me of any of my judgments on other people. We're not down here to judge one another. This isn't a popularity contest. This is something that involves making up your mind whether or not you're going to serve God. And whether you are satisfied with what he has done for you, is doing for you, and will do for you. On that latter day, I'm going to be judged. I'm going to be judged for how I pastored. I'm going to be judged for how much I let you influence me to do things that I didn't particularly agree with and I thought were just a little out of the will of God, because I wanted you to accept me. I just kind of went along with it. Well, by the grace of God, I don't tend to do that anymore. May lose some members over it. You may vacate the pulpit on it. But I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to preach and teach the Word of God in this church. I'm going to continue to do it like I always have. And I'm going to be concerned about whether Jesus is pleased with what I'm doing and the way I'm preaching, and if it's based on that Word. And I'm not going to let anything else influence me in this church. So be warned about it, because I've been convicted of this for some time. And the time's drawing close. And I'm going to be a lot more concerned about what Jesus thinks we're doing right and wrong in this church than I am about what you think we're doing right and wrong. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. One day, Job said, I'm going to have glorified flesh. And I'm going to get to see God. Well, so am I. And so are you. I know you believe that. I know you believe it. I know you believe it. But are you conducting yourself in your everyday walk of life with that awareness, knowing that one day you're going to have to give an account of your life as one of His children, perhaps as a member of this church, as to your conduct and your attitude toward the body itself and toward one another? Whom I shall see for myself in mine eyes, his glorified eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, though I lose all control. Well, thank God, one of these days I'll be shed of this flesh. I won't judge people anymore. Won't be able to. I won't be able to have any of the sinews and the heart and the things I have now to control this old flesh. The old flesh will be dead as a doornail. And the only thing will be left is my soul. My soul will be carried into the presence of God and await the time till it comes back. I love to worship God. I love to come over here and have a good time. I thoroughly enjoy worshiping God. And as long as I think God's satisfied, and I'm not doing anything sacrilegious in my attitude and conduct, I'm not worried. But once I leave this body, I'm going to be judged, and so are every one of you. We need to think about these things. The Scripture says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Myself and every one of you, according to God's Word, need to be aware that be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now you're going to be judged, and I'm going to be judged, for our conduct as local New Testament church members, in our attitude toward the local church as a whole, in whom the Spirit of Christ dwells, and in our attitude one to another. Romans 8, 34 through 39. I believe this. Who is he that condemneth? Only Jesus condemns. Only Jesus condemns those that he has saved. But the Scripture says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. So, if he's not going to condemn me, since he died for me, and he is risen again, if he's not going to condemn me, because he's even at the right hand of God who also maketh intercession for us, Romans 8, 34 through 39, I don't have to worry about hell anymore. I don't have to be concerned about the condemnation of God ever separating me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I've been set free. But the Bible says, use not that cloak of freedom. Don't use it as a cloak of unrighteousness. As members of this church, we ought to be loyal to this church. We ought to be loyal to one another. We ought to learn to be satisfied with such things as we have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is how much God loves you. He will never condemn you. Because it's Christ who has the right to condemn, and he will not condemn because you came to him and trusted us. Here's how safe you are in Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, and he made it sure, he included everything. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from Christ. Once he receives us, we're his forever. What does that mean? Any psychiatrist will tell you the most important thing in a person's life is to be accepted. Some people spend their whole life trying to be accepted. I've watched pastors in churches spend their whole ministry running from hospital to hospital, house to house, developing an appealing bedside manner to where everybody in the church just loves that old boy. Why, he's right there every time I need him. What about the Lord? Isn't he there every time you need him? You say, but we need somebody we can see, taste, touch, and feel, and experience. No, you don't. You need the Lord. And you need the word of the Lord. And you need to understand him. Don't misunderstand me. I do love you. You think I'd talk to a bunch of people that I didn't love like this? You think that I would do this in anger? God forbid. I'm only doing it because I care for you. After all these years of studying God's word, I came to something that's important. I'm accepted by Jesus Christ. That's enough. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Most people read that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And they think, the Lord is my Savior, and I'm glad he is. But that's not what it says. If you think Jesus is enough, and you think he's your friend, and you think he won't ever leave you or forsake you, you need to try and shape your life and your attitudes and your unkind words and your criticisms. You need to curb those because you've been accepted by Jesus. It doesn't matter whether other people accept you. It's nice. But it matters whether or not Jesus accepts you. And he has. You ought to learn to come to church. Just because he's here. And because he died for the church. And he's present spiritually in every assembly. You ought to want to learn to participate in it. You ought to quit taking things away from it. And put something in it. Some of you just put criticism into it. You need to put some of yourself into it. Some of you think you don't need to change. You all need to change. And I need to change. And I'm trying. So here we are at Christmas time. This is the one thing we need to remember. Hebrews 13:5b, for he has said, I will never leave you, leave thee, nor forsake thee. Is that enough? Or is something else required? If he accepts you enough to tell you that, then every time you're in sorrow, every time you've loved a lost one, every time your heart has been broken and torn out, there's somebody who you never have to wonder whether he loves you, whether you never have to wonder whether he really cares, because he's proven himself, and he's shown how much he loved you by giving you the gift of eternal life with the assurance he will never depart from you. That's why I come to church. That's why I'm still pastoring here. I know that Jesus is right here tonight. I know that. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I just told you the truth. You may not like it. You may get mad as a wet hen, but I told you the truth. You need to think about it. Brother Kenneth Eubanks, would you dismiss us?